Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Spinell, for today, Thursday, February 3rd. And today we are joined by Dinah Owsley and Julie Tobias of Dynair. But before we get into everything, I just want to remind everyone that the call-in number for tonight's show is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. So if you have a question or want to make a comment, you can give us a call and we'll get your questions answered. Also, join us in the chat room where my sister Denise is in the chat room leading the discussion over there. So we just want to jump right into the show. First of all, ladies, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we know you guys have been at a trade show, so I'm sure you have lots to do, but we just want to start the conversation off, Dinah, by asking you, how did it all begin? And I know you were like first. So,
I'll try to make this last 30 years real quick.
Okay.
You know, this was a success overnight.
Right.
So, I'm a cosmetologist who loves airbrushing and decided that I wasn't a traditional makeup artist because I wasn't any good. And that I would just try airbrushing, and everybody really laughed, and that made me more motivated to make it happen. And we heard high def was coming, and this was the solution to high def. Pixels. Mm-hmm. When you spray it, it sprays pixels, and that's what your computer and your fax machine and everything's made up of. And, you know, and today, you know, with the technology, it's just, you know, and it's more sanitary, so it addresses all the issues today. So it was just a gift to me to share with you, and that's what we're doing, is sharing.
Great. Let me ask you this, because I've noticed, you know, from years of attending the IMATS, the International Makeup Artist Trade Show in Pasadena, I just remember years ago seeing the Dynair booth and not really, you know, knowing a whole lot about airbrushing and airbrush makeup until I, you know, took a course. But then I would start to see some other airbrush brands popping up here and there. Some are still around, some are not. But Dynair has been around, the first that I've ever seen, and still around. And I must say, I think it was this past June, in Pasadena, actually, you guys had the greatest
blingest booth.
I know. Yeah. It was gorgeous. Gorgeous.
It was amazing.
Thank
the presentation.
You.
Yeah, the presentation was awesome. I thought, you know, it was so attractive, and I'm sure it attracted a lot of people to your booth. And it just seemed like there was so much going on there, like, you know, it just really makes you want to stop by. What was the inspiration behind the new setup?
Well, what was our inspiration? I guess we've grown so we can afford it. And,
right.
And we put our money where our mouth is. And, you know, and we all wear a lot of hats here, and I'm the chief cook and bottle washer, and I help set up that booth and break that booth down.
We have the pink army.
We are, and we love bling, so we bling everything. And so, you know, it's really, it's just magical. We just really like it. We like our jobs very much, and so that's, you know, the law of attraction. It's the secret.
Now you guys are just... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you all had some amazing makeup artists there as well. Like, I mean, very talented. I mean, I was looking like, I still can't master the whole, well, I'm not going to say I can't master it. I guess I just haven't tried to master airbrushing, like, you know, eyes and all that. But, I mean, there were some great makeup artists.
But our classes are only two days, and in 2 days, we have it all streamlined that it's a crash course, but we take you back to when you were a child and when it was really easy to learn and you were a little sponge, and we can get you there. And then you just like somehow fall in love with it, and it's very hard to go back to traditional once you put that spray brush in your hand. And just the performance of the makeup and the compressor is really low, even low pressure. Now you can't even hear it. We just launched at Long Beach our new mini compressor that even is battery packed. It plugs into the cigarette lighter of your car. We don't want you to airbrush your makeup while you're driving, but you can use your cigarette lighter to work out of your tailgate. You know us freelance makeup artists. We got to work anywhere. So Right. We've made it very easy.
Absolutely. What have you noticed about the whole airbrush craze? Have you noticed anything that has changed since your beginning days?
Well, we were ahead of our time, and we're so excited that everyone is like, you know, enjoying it like we are, and deciding that education is where it's at. Everybody's kind of gone back to the drawing board and need to get their skills up to keep their jobs and to stay up with technology. And I feel that's what Dine Air does. You know, it's really not intimidating. Our classes are very fun. We're the eating club, and we eat all day. We have fun, and we do makeup, and just kind of all the things that we love to do. And then it just, like, ignites your talent. And it makes you an unbelievable makeup artist because of the performance of the makeup and stencils and hard edges and eyebrow stencils. You can cut to the chase and just do amazing makeup in half the time. So really it's about getting your life back, and time is money, so you're making money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the average time for an airbrush makeup, in your opinion, or with your makeup?
Well, I'd say you can do a great makeup in, you know, 15 minutes, even the bride. I mean, you may, you know, pamper her a little more, and you can do her in 20 minutes and, you know, 30 at the most, if you can't find your colors, because we have so many. And those high-maintenance ones, you know, you need to baby them a little bit, which we love.
Right.
We're also codependent. Love me, love me, right? So we can fix anything. So we do. And we can fix anything. Like, we have paramedical makeup, too, that really takes out the flaws if there's some, you know, something glaring. Mm-hmm. And it stays on all day long. And the paramedical's even waterproof.
Now, your makeup is water-based now? Because you all started out with alcohol, or do you have both?
Yes, but we need to cover a lot of tattoos today. Mm-hmm. I work on a lot of commercials and stuff, and we have to really cover a lot of tattoos. So we do have an alcohol line. It's not a lot of the colors. It's really foundation colors, so you can color, mm-hmm. you know, all the, and do all the body makeup, and
right.
and it's waterproof
right.
and major coverage and stays on.
Right. Now, we had a question from the chat room. Let's see if I can find it. Janelle is asking, how did airbrush become incorporated into the makeup artistry industry?
Well, I say we introduced it, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, way back in, the show we just did in Long Beach was, I won that show in 1989 for doing airbrush makeup, and I really didn't even enter for airbrush makeup. I really entered to try to express my opinion on stopping product testing on animals. I was a major demonstrator to get cosmetic companies and hair product companies to stop testing on animals. So we did win, and we did get to tell 10,000 hair and makeup people to stop using products that were testing on animals. And, of course, today, cruelty-free is a household word. And I loved it. And time was money, and they never gave us time to do our jobs. I was really a hairdresser on the jobs, and my friends couldn't get the makeup done, so they would want me to help them. So I said, you know what? I'm going to spray this makeup on. They go, yeah, yeah, yeah. They thought we were crazy. And we did. I mean, I used to do Ed Begley Jr. and spray that tall, long body in 5 minutes because they didn't want to go out without body makeup. And basically, that's just kind of how it begun. And we loved it, and we still love it. And, you know, we've grown because people, you know, they see its potential. And with high def, it's the makeup because it lets your own natural beauty shine through. And it works under all lighting because your natural skin is showing through and around those little pixels. Your skin is breathing, so therefore, if it isn't trapping toxins, it's anti-aging. It was a blessing. This makeup is a blessing here on Earth for all of us vain girls and makeup artists
and consumers. I want to add to that too. I know. It's definitely a consumer market now. Everyone's spraying themselves at home. It's so beautiful. It is a daily wear makeup. So it's like having HD makeup every single day. It really is truly amazing.
Now, how easy is that for a consumer? Because, I mean, for me, I would think it would be difficult. I mean, I've tried it before, and it worked out fine. But, I mean, to do some of the detail work, like how difficult is that?
Well, is it because you need a magnifying mirror, or do you wear glasses?
I wear glasses sometimes, but I don't need the glasses to apply my makeup.
Okay. Well, then you wouldn't for airbrush either. The key is spraying too little, putting as few drops into your brush as possible, and seeing how far you can make it go. And basically, it just erases everything because when it sprays dots, and dots are the ultimate in camouflaging. Anything dark, you lighten, you spray a few camouflage dots, and then you can mix and make medium because your skin is light, medium, and dark, and blush dots. Like, for instance, if you had rosacea, you could use some of that rosacea to be your own natural blush and just tech out some of the rosacea and leave the rest to be your natural blush.
True.
So it's easy. It's really easy. And the pressure's so low, the lower the pressure, the more control, the less overspray. I know that some other companies have compressors that probably weren't built for makeup, and they spray too high. So you, and I think now legally you aren't supposed to spray over 10 PSI on your face or body. And ours doesn't. So we can even do eyeliner with it. I mean, I can make tapered eyeliner right into the corner of your eye, and it isn't going to affect your eye. The pressure is low. It's pixels. So your eye is still breathing. I mean, I can even do the water ledge. Your eye is still breathing, and if it just gets into your eye, it just clabbers a little bit, and you just, you know, plunk it out. Plunk it out of the corner of your eye. It's so easy, and it's worth it because it's so pretty and you look flawless. No suffering for beauty.
But it is really easy, and Dynair has the videos that are going to walk the consumer step by step. We are really big on education, and our DVD, our instructional DVD, is great
to help anyone.
And we give free lessons. Yeah. We give, if we have your email, we give you free lessons.
No, no, and you, go ahead. No, go ahead. I was going to just say, just explain a little bit for those who may not know how your compressor has changed, because I have the, I'm assuming it's the original one. It's a, you know, a little bigger, a lot boxier, that I think I bought like in two, maybe 99.
Yeah, that sounds like my body now.
Right, exactly.
But now it's like 14 ounces, and it's kind of like, you know, a little bigger than a postage stamp. You know, it fits into you.
It actually fits in the palm of your hand. It's a little bigger than a postage stamp, but it's close.
But we're getting there. We're on our way. And it's really quiet, and, you know, we have batteries. We have rechargeable and regular, and we even have an international plug where you just plunk off one AC plug and plunk on another one for the UK or Australia, and you don't even need a converter.
Oh, nice.
It's so quiet, too. You can't hear it. The newest one that just came out, it's almost undetectable that it's even on.
It's like a hybrid.
But there is a little light that will show you that it's on, so.
Yeah, a cute little red one.
So is that the direction that a lot of airbrush companies are going, trying to make the compressor smaller? Is that, you know, have you guys, you know, heard complaints, not particularly about your compressor, but just in general from makeup artists where they may say the compressors are too big.
Oh, yes.
I think they're trying to keep up because we're really big on you know, staying updated, and we're always working on new things, and so we have lots more to come. Right, Dinah?
We do.
Yeah.
We're really excited about a lot of stuff.
Now, talk a little bit about your stencils. Like, what types of stencils do you all have?
Oh, my gosh. We have glamour stencils, you know, eyebrow stencils, eyeshadow shields. We even have eyebrow hairs. We know part of the aging process is that women lose their brows. So we can even, you know, make a three-dimensional brow that looks so real and so beautiful. And, you know, if they've been over-waxed or, you know, or the tattoo isn't looking very good or fresh, and we can just enhance all of that so easily, and it just, like, changes everybody's spirit when they look so good. When they have some little something or some big something that really bothers them, we can fix that. And we have trendy eyeshadow,
trendy eye stencils.
Yeah, we have, you know, stencils for your hair. You can spray our makeup into your hair, and you can have, you know, natural shades, or you can have patterns, leopards, reptiles, zebras, which helps the hairdressers. Like, if they gave them a great haircut, then the add-on would be they could spray some fun, wild black light makeup in their hair and put spots and leopard spots and zebras and things in their hair. When they wash it out, they still have a great hairdo, but they have picked up a few extra dollars.
Now, you all were doing that at the trade show.
Denise, here's one more thing. We teach you to cut stencils in our class. And you can do them great. You can do logos and do great things. We have stencil burners. So if somebody calls and you need to cut Ford's logo at the drop of a hat, and you can do it and show up on that job. Like I did Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me, and I cut all the stencils right here, the male symbol, the peace sign, and groovy. I didn't even spell groovy right, so I had to erase it. We teach it, as, you know, you can, if that director can dream it up, you can do it.
Oh, wow. Well,
we've even had to duplicate stencils for somebody who lost their tattoos, and we watched the video, and we duplicated it so they could get their opening shot for this movie. I mean, it's amazing. Oh, wow. Skill. Everyone should have it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
What else?
I was just going to say really quickly, there are makeup artists out there now, which I'm sure there are a few in our chat room that I know who've expressed before that, you know, it's hard for them to get started with the whole airbrushing thing because, I mean, it's just too hard for them. Like, they feel like it's difficult. Like, they can't grasp the whole concept of it. I mean, what's your teaching method as far as learning how to airbrush?
Our teaching method is non-intimidating. We bring you in. We take you back to your childhood where learning was easy. And we stay that age from 5 to 9 for the 2 days. And you just throw out and leave your ego at the door and come on down and let us, you know, take care of you and baby you. And I guarantee you we can get you there. It is not intimidating at all. You know, and we don't judge and we don't want you to judge yourself. And we have great exercises that get you there, that get you to do foundation and blush and eyeshadow and eyeliner and eyebrows. And then we spend some time on fantasy, which really loosens you up. And we work with dual and single control brushes. I mean, it is a formal education that you shouldn't be without. And if you've lost any jobs, if you've lost a job for doing a bride, it's, you know, because they wanted airbrush, then you need to look into this and not be intimidated by it. Education is good. Let's see, wasn't it Brad Pitt who said, school is cool? And I agree. I still like school. I don't feel I know it all.
I like
learning myself. And frankly, I learn from my students, too. They're smart.
Well, let me ask you, what separates Dynair from the rest of the bunch? I mean, why take a Dynair training class versus other training classes that's out there? Why use the Dynair system and colors?
Because they created it!
Well, of course.
We created it. How can anybody teach it? And there's no silicone in our makeup. You know what I mean? You don't have to powder it. You just have to learn how to spray it and love it. And it's going to be as you're going to get out of it what you put into it. Our class is an amazing class. And we're going to be going to New York. We're going to Orlando tomorrow. And our classes are full of amazing people. Amazing people. And we always cry at the end of it because we can't help it because it's so good.
lots of tears. Everyone's graduating.
And
it's
happy.
Such a happy day.
It's a very happy day. It's advanced training. We need to stay current or we are going to fall behind.
Definitely.
And you know, this is a fact. They thought that people were going to look better without makeup with HD than with makeup. And again, that didn't work out. Didn't work out. I did all the Sony guys, and they wanted to look good. You know? So what did they seek out? Dynair. And the presidents. They don't even look like they have on makeup. It's great men's makeup. Oh, my gosh. And they love it because they think it, you know, is a little more masculine feeling to get it sprayed on with an airbrush rather than all wiped on.
I want to go back a little bit to thinking about the consumers earlier. What?
Okay.
I guess I'm trying to, you know, because we go to Sephora and we see, you know, that there's airbrush makeup there for tend to us about airbrush makeup for the consumer. In your case, the consumer could purchase your existing compressor and airbrush themselves.
Well, first of all, ours is totally affordable, and you can mix our makeup, and people aren't one color. And it takes
right.
so little
right.
of our makeup, and it goes so far. And that's the deal. It's affordable, and it works.
Right.
It doesn't rub off.
Right.
It keeps up with our lifestyle today, which is we are so busy, we need to do our makeup in the morning, and it needs to last all day. And it does. And it doesn't collect back into the folds and the squint lines where you have to come back in and try to, you know, erase it with a sponge or something. It doesn't. It really buys you 20 years. It erases those lines and those flaws and stays on. So it keeps up with our very busy lifestyle. So we look good all day long, so we should have, you know, a great attitude because we look good. Look good, we feel good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's next for Dine Air?
What's next for Dine Air?
Oh, my gosh.
We have a We have a huge year, and we're so excited about it. Tomorrow we leave for Orlando to teach. Then we go to Dallas next weekend, and then Houston and New York. We're going to be in New York 3 times. And,
okay.
You know, yeah, we're going to do, you know, IBS and IMAX and the Powder Group. And
we have Chicago and D.C.
Yeah.
We're just growing and growing, and consumers are I mean, you know, a lot of them have already caught on, and people are just still learning about it. So we have to share the rest of it. The rest of the world has to know, and they're picking up on it.
Yeah, and so we let the professional makeup artists who take our class become distributors if they would love to become a distributor and sell, you know, our makeup. And they probably want to because it sells itself. And if things are quiet and there's not enough work, this is a great, you know, revenue for them. So they should really look into it. And that's what we're out, you know, preaching and letting everybody know.
Absolutely. Now, are there, you have a website. Could you kind of shout out your website and anything else you want the listeners to know about Dine Air?
Yeah, our website is airbrushmakeup.com. So it's, and then our phone number is, I mean, do you want the phone number as well?
Sure. That's fine.
Okay. It's 1-800-785-4770. We have live chat. We have email. You
color
can
match.
Call us.
Color match.
You can send in your color match to freecolormatch@dineair.com. You'll send in a picture of you, and then our team is going to go ahead and color match you. So you get a, you know, a customized color match. I think too, that education is very big with us. Again, we have great videos. We have great customer service. If you look at all the reviews online, it's number one rated in customer service. So we really do take care of our customers. We don't just sell them a kit. We actually help them and walk them through it, make sure that they know how to do it to themselves and that they're getting the right colors.
Right.
So that's airbrushmakeup.com.
And you have a lot of your videos on YouTube, is that correct?
We do.
Yes, we have lots of video. We have videos on YouTube, but they're also on our website. And then the DVD that comes with the kit is also instructional. Very good. I mean, it goes from cleaning of the airbrush, which is super, super easy, to getting the right distance when you're spraying, how to cover blemishes, how to make sure you're mixing your right colors, how to highlight contour. All of that is in the DVD, and it really is step-by-step.
Now, is that DVD sold separately from the kit?
It's actually, it's part of our kit. We sell it as part of our kit. But you can always go on our website and watch those videos, and those are really helpful.
And if we have your email, don't we send them, you know,
yeah,
our good deals?
Even when you sign up on the website, you can sign up for Dina's free lessons, and they will send you videos. I think it's about every other week or so they'll send you a new video. So they're free lessons. So that's really good to go and sign up for as well.
Yeah, like if somebody calls us up with a problem, and if we need to express it on, you know, a DVD, we do, and we send it out. So people can eliminate those problems, erase them, like the flaws.
Nice. And so all of this information is found on your website?
Yes, airbrushmakeup.com.
Okay. And we'll put that out there.
Thank you.
All right. And one last question before we let you go, Dinah. We always ask our guests what beauty means to them.
Can I sneak in one question from the chat?
Okay.
Room? Sorry, before we do that.
Okay.
Jennifer James is wondering, do you all have a professional discount program?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes, we do. We have a pro card. You get up to 30% off. So it's a $25 year fee, and you'll get up to 30% off for that full year. Super, super easy to sign up for that. Just go to our website, airbrushmakeup.com, look under professional, click on pro card, and apply now. And it's going to walk you step by step how to get that discount. But I think the retail discount, if you're actually going to be selling the kits, that's a bit deeper. And I think everybody should be selling it. I mean, everybody, yeah, I mean, when a bride gets her makeup done and she's like, where do I get one of these?
Thank
you say, hey, I have one. Let me go to the trunk of my car. How many would you like?
Exactly. I'm telling you, here's the deal. They're always going to do their makeup every day, but they're going to come to you to get it done for special occasions, and they'll never do their own makeup for their wedding. So why shouldn't you be making revenue from them? And the revenue is in reselling them the makeup. And we always have new colors, and you'll have access to all the new colors. And
I really think it's word of mouth. I mean, we had a client the other day who was telling me, she just started to do her daughter's drill team, and it just from that one person that she did, it went on to all the mothers and then those mothers' friends, and now this person is just, she's probably counting money on her bed right now. I mean, it's ridiculous. So it's just the word of mouth, and you can start with home parties, and, you know, why keep such a great product such a secret? Everybody should know about it and have one.
It's the secret weapon.
Yeah, it's the new secret weapon.
It is. And beauty to me means Dinair, of course, because Dinair really does erase the bad, even if it's a little small flaw, and let your own natural beauty shine through. And everyone is beautiful.
There you go. Well, thank you, ladies, so, so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
We had so much fun.
We love the music.
We do. Can we hear more of that music? We're going to be airbrushing to that jazzy music.
We'll have to send you a copy.
All right. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having us. Have a safe trip to Orlando and have fun going around the country teaching airbrush with Dinair.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
If you're listening by phone, stay with us. Let's see, we have someone calling in from Los Angeles. Hold on. Hello.
Hello, ladies.
Hold on, wait a minute. I think this was
JK.
Hi, JK. Hunter, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm just now tuning in.
Calling.
Let me ask you, JK, do you airbrush?
I do, rarely, but I do.
Oh, okay.
I'm laughing.
And she's got she's got every brand of airbrush makeup, because I know.
Yes, I have Dinair.
Well, talk to us a little bit about your experience with the Dinair colors.
I like the Dinair colors. I've forgotten what else do I have. I have several companies, like you said, of airbrush makeup. But I haven't picked up my airbrush machine for quite a while. I actually took it with me to the Stella Awards. I like that colors. But with all the colors that I use, regardless of what company it is, I end up mixing.
Right.
Some of them I even end up mixing, you know, different companies together to get that just perfect shade that I need. So rarely do I use any of the companies straight. Every once in a blue moon,
maybe
I'll use a cotton
right.
that something straight, but most of the time, mixing.
I have one. I've never used Dynair, but I would like to, you know, try it out.
Yeah,
it's like she was talking about all the colors that they have, so I would definitely like to try it. Who is your, what compressor do you have, JK?
I have many of my compressors, they're both generic compressors. One I got from, my first one I got from my ex-boyfriend, and it does not have the name on it. He's an airbrush artist. He's an actual,
okay.
like, he does cars, guitars, shirts, you know,
mm-hmm.
building airbrush artists. So
gotcha.
he had one, and I was telling him that, you know, people were starting to airbrush, and this was years ago, and so he sent me one.
Okay.
So there's no name on it that I know of, and the other one is a little generic one that I found at a store. I don't have Ketz or Dynair's. Machine. I have one other company's airbrush makeup, and I can't think of who it is at the moment. I'll tell you in a minute once I get my hands on it, but I can't think of what
OCC?
It is.
OCC?
OCC, yeah, because they sent us some makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's the three main companies that I have.
Like I was saying earlier in the beginning of the show, I just remember years ago attending a makeup artist trade show, and Dynair was the one company that I saw that sold airbrush makeup. They were like the first. And
they were the first,
also,
I think, too.
Yeah. And they were also the first company that I saw with stencils. I mean, they've taken stencils to another level.
Right.
Because it seemed like each year they were adding more, and the whole stencil portion of their business was growing. And like I said before, there were other companies that came and went, and there are other companies that may have started something, but now they kind of cut back. They're still in the airbrush game, but they're not doing as much as some other companies. But Dynair has, you know, been around for a long, long time, and I was also sharing earlier that their presentation, like their trade show booth, is fabulous, and it's always so much going on at their booth. Now, you know, it has always been a lot going on at their booth, but now they just have a huge space, and it's pink, you know, girly, it's cute. You know, and to me, I think it draws people to their booth.
Right. It's going to pull people in automatically with the pink. And so many people are just new makeup artists, and people who just want their makeup done are just so taken away with airbrush makeup. So they all just automatically will draw to an airbrush. But Dynair, I think they're the originators of everything, huh? I mean, I could be wrong,
mm-hmm.
but I hadn't seen anything before I saw theirs.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know years ago, I guess it was maybe like, I don't know if it was like around 2000, maybe 2001, something like that,
yeah.
when I took an airbrush course. And
mm.
in the class, matter of fact, Suzanne Patterson, who's going to be on in a few minutes with her airbrush tips, I took a class with her, and I was, and I forget the organization that certified you when I took this class, but and she was affiliated with the organization, but anyway, I took this airbrush class. And Suzanne had airbrush compressors from everybody that she could think of.
Mm-hmm.
She had airbrush makeup from everywhere. And, like, this was all still very new to me, but Suzanne had seemed like she had been airbrushing for years. Cause she, I'm trying to think, it was like maybe a total of 8 people in her class,
mm-hmm.
and none of us had our own compressors. So, the class was, a portion of the class was hands-on, so we had to, you know, practice, and she had a compressor for everyone to use.
Wow.
So,
yeah. That's nice.
And
that's huge.
Yeah. And
yeah.
With the company that she was selling the compressors and guns for was called Mancini, and the owner's name was Lou Ann Mancini, and it was like, if you know what the Zynair airbrush system looks like today, the Mancini one, the Mancini compressor was very small, just like that, and the airbrush gun and hose was connected, so it was just like one piece. And it fit inside of a bag that's the size of a cosmetic bag. So you could literally take that whole system and throw it in your purse, depending on how big the purse is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, like sometimes you think about back in the day, you think about airbrush compressors, and you think of these big, bulky things. But even back then, some companies were creating very small
airbrush machine. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, my personal,
like,
I just looked at it. It's by some, it's Sim Air is what it says on it. But it's not huge, but it's big in comparison to the new ones now. It's too big. So that's probably the reason why I don't mess with. The second one is a little silver one that I got from like a hardware store. So it's relatively small, but it, I don't see the name on it. Knowing me, I took it off.
Mm-hmm.
My airbrush is a Badger. My actual airbrush is a Badger airbrush. So, you know, a lot of people use a variety of airbrushes.
Yeah, and, the actual kind, yeah.
Yeah, and I even have airbrush makeup from Performance Cosmetics, which is the cosmetic store here in Nashville where I am. I think I talked to somebody at OCC about, they have that new system, so they're changing theirs out in regards to how they're doing it. I don't know if they're going to sell just the individual makeup anymore, because, you know, they have that snap-in system now where you snap the actual cartridge into the airbrush machine. So you're not going to be able to really mix their makeup with anybody else's because it's going to be... you're not going to be able to pull it out unless you spray it into something, and then it'll probably dry on you. But I don't have that new system.
I'm
wondering how that's going to work.
That's going to be
very
interesting. If anybody knows anything about that, please call in and let us know.
Yeah.
Let me let my sister get to the beauty news really quickly. Do you have any news for us?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I was just waiting patiently.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, JK. How are you?
I'm fine.
That's good. That's good. Very quickly, because I know Suzanne's coming on in a couple of minutes, just wanted to let everyone know about Eve Pearl's classes that she has coming up on February 9th and February 10th. They're both $200 a piece, and they're going to be offered at her studio in New York City. The first one on February 9th is The Flawless Bride of All Ages, and it's from 1 to 4 p.m. And on February 10th is HD Beauty from 1 to 4 p.m. Again, they're both $200, and the classes are all taught by Eve Pearl. And if you need more information on these classes or if you want to reserve a space for the class, you can call 212-223-2229. That's 212-223-2229. And don't forget, the makeup show in L.A. is February 26th and 27th. I had someone ask me about that date today. It's February 26th and 27th, I believe, a Sunday and a Monday. Well, you can definitely go out to the Powder Group's website for more information on location and things like that. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about Face Off, which has become my favorite makeup show on the Sci-Fi Channel, and I know JK loves it as well.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering if anyone's seen it or, you know, what you thought about it. You can kind of comment in the chat room right now about it if you have any comments on Face Off. And I'm starting, well, it started last night, but
starting next week, I'm going to start a weekly face-off chat on my Facebook fan page for anyone who's interested in joining me on my fan page for a chat on face-off. And if you go to Facebook, you can just do a search on Denise Tunnell's fan page, and that's T-U-N-N-E-L-L apostrophe S fan page, and it should pull it up because a couple people had problems yesterday with pulling up that fan page. Again, it's Denise Tunnell's fan page on Facebook, and I'll start at 10 o'clock promptly, and we'll just chat about all the stuff that Frank's doing.
I would log on, but Facebook closed my page down, and my name was fake. So we'll see if they let me back on. Because I'm not starting. I just cannot go through that again. So we'll see. And I'll log on. But I'm with you. I love Face-Off.
Who's your favorite so far?
See, I'm not good with their names. I like Tate. I think he's the one who won last night, right?
I think
that's the right name. Tate. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like him. I'm not caring for Frank.
No.
In two shows, he's like ticked me off on both shows. Don't care for him. But I'm not grasping the names on all the rest of them just yet. Gage's name, kind of.
Frank, yes, cares. Frank is an A. they're talking about Frank in the chat room. But Frank, actually, I remember Frank from IMATS out in L.A. I want to say he was either on a panel or maybe I met him at a booth or something like that. But I was actually talking. I've been working on Vampire Diaries lately. And mm-hmm. I was talking to a makeup artist over at Vampire Diaries. And she knows Frank, and she says that he is really like he is on the show. What you see on the show is Frank.
Oh, that's sad.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And I'll just keep the comments at that because I don't really want to repeat what else she said about him. So I'll keep the comments at that. But then
that's
also,
really
I know Connor from Vampire Diaries. He worked on season one of Vampire Diaries. And I really enjoy Connor's work, but I also enjoy Sam's work. You know, the young lady that's from, I want to say Atlanta or Decatur or something like that. I really enjoyed her work. She did the body painting last night of the girl with the book standing by the bookshelf.
Oh, yeah. I put her in clothes and the red and the gray or black pants or something and made the heels. Yeah, that was excellent. Very
mm-hmm.
good. That was nice. I like that. I'm still getting clear on their names. I'm trying to Google them and pull up the picture of them I saw yesterday. But
Frank's body painting was actually good. It was just the way he went about it all. I mean, I mean, how rude is that to put a lampshade on your model's head? I mean,
backwards.
Who does it really?
Backwards and a lampshade.
Yeah,
that's
made him turn around.
Right.
If you're going to be a makeup artist, especially if you're going to do body painting and just working with, you know, creating, you know, monsters or whatever on a person's body, you're going to have to see certain body parts.
Right, like them or not.
Yeah, and if you're not man enough to do that, then you don't need to be a makeup artist.
Right. The first thing he should have done is just paint and cover up the center portion of them. Like one of the guys had a drape across the guy. He could have
mm-hmm.
done that. Use
mm-hmm.
a drape. He could have used a drape, taped it, you know, matte adhesive, use it, cover that area, and went forward. And
mm-hmm.
then airbrush right over whatever, you know, he put over the guy's genitals. And been done. He didn't have to go through all that. Too much. So. And just to be mean to the guy and not introduce yourself and not talk to him and not have anything to say to the guy, all that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, it's like having a client and you don't walk in and you're not going to speak to the client. You're just going to start doing their makeup. And they're just supposed to be okay with it because you are whoever you think you are. It's ignorant.
Can you imagine how that guy must have felt when he put that lampshade on his head?
Right. You saw the part where he said, you know, he didn't even speak.
I have somebody from the 313 area code. I think they want to jump in on the conversation. Hello.
Hi, this is Apple Diva / Karis.
Hi, Karis. Hey. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Great.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to talk on the how are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Fine.
I want to talk about the Face Off show.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like Tom. He's the one with the spiky hair. He had the girl.
Oh, yes. Yes, he's from
the black girl with the stairway.
Right? Yes. Oh,
I thought
yes.
He was the best. Should have won that challenge, and I'm still upset about it.
I forgot about that one. Yes, it was awesome.
It was nice. It was a very good work. I thought that was, and to even come up with putting a walkway in front of that staircase was ingenious.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way he painted it was fabulous. I think the thing in her butt, the weed tree, whatever you call it, in her butt was
mm-hmm.
was a count out for him. Or like in certain things when people do it. I used to be in band, so I call it a tick, meaning that, you know, they count it out for us.
Yeah.
They
should have done that.
I thought it was kind of clever.
What night does the show come on?
It comes
on Wednesday nights at 10 p.m.
Wednesday
nights.
Okay.
And he should have won the first challenge last week, too. I'm still bitter about that.
Oh, yeah, because
he had, like, the green, it was like a bug or something.
Yeah, he was on the team with Connor.
No, this is the individual challenge.
Oh, the foundation challenge?
No, this is one where they had to use something in the room.
Yes, like the flowers and stuff. I thought his looked very good.
Yeah, that's the foundation. They call that the foundation challenge.
That's right, the foundation challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to go back and see what he did, and that's Tom.
Yeah, that's
Tom.
I don't remember what he did.
Me last week, too. He tweeted me last week, so I'm Team Tom.
Okay. Not everybody's establishing their teams already. That's serious.
Okay, then.
I did know that you can watch at least the first episode on the website, sci-fi.com/faceoff/episodes. With an S. So the first one, if nothing else, is on there. I don't know if the second one is on here yet.
Okay.
But anybody that missed it can go back and watch it. So.
Yeah. I've been recording it on my DVR, so I can go back and...
Wait a minute. We can go back and watch it where, JK?
On the website.
Sci-Fi's channel, sci-fi.com/faceoff/episodes.
Okay. On
their
website. Okay.
And sci-fi, S-Y-F-Y.
Right. Yeah, SYFY.com. So, and it looks like the second one might be on here now.
Mm-hmm.
It just said something about episode 2. But then when I clicked full episode, it said, it says 101. So the first
Okay.
So nothing else. The first one is on here.
Okay.
And then, of course, so, I've been intending to check my own demand on my cable to see if they're both on there.
Well, we have Suzanne on the line. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, ladies. I'm sorry if I have a bit of a bug in my throat. I came back from London with this, so I'm just getting over it.
Oh,
so I'm a little bit froggy, but if you can bear with me, that would be fine.
Yes. Do you watch the Face Off show on the Sci-Fi Channel?
No, I haven't watched it. I just have so little time for TV these days, and I forget to watch it, I guess.
Yeah.
But it does sound very interesting.
It really does. It's all about special effects.
Yeah, that's right up our alley. But I just, hopefully, I guess you can get it on demand. I think there's these channels you can go back
and I'm sure iTunes.
I'm sorry?
I said, I'm sure it'll be on iTunes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the beauty of technology. We can just go back and catch up.
Right. Absolutely.
Practically everything that started since the world began, I suppose.
What do you have for us today?
Well, remember a few months ago on a previous show that I talked about 4K quad HD televisions being developed, HD cameras increasing the size of their image sensors, and RED working on a 28K resolution camera? Well, take a deep breath, everyone, because 7680p resolution is coming your way, and it will make our artistry life just that much more challenging or miserable, whichever you want to call it. 4K has been toppled, and the word high definition will fall by the wayside to what this format is currently being referred to as super high vision. It will probably be nicknamed ultra high definition, especially by consumers once it hits the general market with TVs capable of this level of resolution. Okay, so listen very carefully. This is a television format that will run in progressive mode at 7680 vertical lines with 4,320 pixels per line. That translates to 16 times the current resolution of 1080 interlace mode, or progressive, whichever you want to call it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You said it. Now, here's the interesting thing. The United States doesn't even broadcast in 1080p yet, because even though we have end-to-end capability, meaning we can shoot and deliver in a 1080p format, we don't have the bandwidth for it. The lightning speed at which this technology is being developed is lopsided to the readiness of the government and consumers, because the FCC hasn't even okayed the bandwidth that is required to accommodate broadcasting in 1080p. So most broadcasting that we see on television is still done in the smaller 720p format, because it's simply a cleaner transmission than the 1080 interlace. And you have to understand progressive and interlace transmission. 1080i still has some digital scattering that is seen, which is why they drop down to 720p in transmission. And this is especially noticeable if you have a lower megahertz television that's 45 inches or larger, with a screen that's 45 inches or larger. All right, so this format has been largely experimental and developmental since 2005 in Japan. Of course, Japan drives everything. But the BBC in Britain has been seriously pursuing this format and did a first-ever recording and broadcast in this format this last September. Obviously, there's no public televisions yet that can resolve the size of picture accurate, not even close. But when they shot and broadcast one of their TV shows, I think it was called The Charlatans, the BBC had set up a special screening room that had a screen size of 600 inches. Okay,
no.
Shall we pause for a moment of silence for the beginning of the passing of 1080? Seriously. The U.S. doesn't have any current plans for testing here yet, as they are closely monitoring Britain's trials. But it's going to have a longer field testing period by the BBC next year during the broadcast of the 2012 Olympic Games. So they are going to continue to field test it there. So when is it going to be available commercially? Okay, Japan says that it will be ready for market between 2016 and 2018 for the consumer market. They are going to have televisions ready, and I guess they're going to have camera capability. But you should see the size of these cameras. They look like, to me, the Mack trucks of video cameras. I mean, I saw one, and it's obnoxious. It's just huge. So they've obviously got some refining to do. But you know what? Here is the bigger issue. It's bandwidth. Britain has bigger bandwidth than we do in the U.S. Here it is, 2011, and we still don't have the allocated bandwidth for 1080 progressive picture. Go figure. So already we're behind integrating the advancing technology. So I see this new HD format as a juggernaut or bottleneck, whichever you want to call it, coming your way soon, between the government's willingness to cater to technology's developments and its consumer demands. So it is risen on the horizon.
I'm looking at something online basically talking about it, and it's saying possibly 2020 in America. And then I looked at Wikipedia, and it's saying they're calling it UHD TV or Ultra HD TV or UHDV.
Has Wikipedia got a paper up already on it?
Uh-huh, they have something on it. It's an experiment.
They're taking it seriously.
Experimental. It's an experimental digital video format,
right,
currently proposed by the NHK, which I looked that up, and it.
Yeah, they did the trials with BBC. They did a joint broadcast.
Nippon Hoso Kayaka, which officially is named the Japan Broadcasting.
Is everybody
Japan
running to their computers already? Good.
Right.
That's
I'm
good.
On mine.
Learn
I'm
all you can.
Online. Yeah, they're saying Japan, BBC, and the RAI, and IMAX, roughly the same number of pixels as UHD. It's wide quad high definition and quad full high definition are not the same resolution as UHD TV.
Now,
so they're going into a lot of that.
This is JK.
This is JK.
Oh, okay. I wanted to make sure I got names straight here.
Yes, so basically the BBC, Japan, Italy are on it already, and they're experimenting with it, and they're trying to bring it here, but I see what you're saying.
That's not going to happen anytime soon.
Right.
Because we don't even have the bandwidth for 1080p. That's how far behind the United States is.
Okay, it made me think about what... when the president did his speech the other week, he was talking about the infrastructure of the United States and how we have to bring it up to this century and to what other countries are doing, else we're going to lag behind, our children are going to lag behind. And so my brother and I was recently online talking, and we're going to have, this is how fast we could come up. By 2015, there will be high-speed railway in 6 major areas in the United States. So it's possible that they could change all of that in a heartbeat, and we could be to that level within a few years, not as far out as maybe we think. Yeah, we're not there now, but with them experimenting with it, all it takes is an act of Congress for them to okay the bandwidth, and we'll be there. So with the president and Congress and the Senate all wanting to bring everything to the level that other people have in Japan and Italy and in Europe and BBC, then maybe we will have it quicker than we think. Or they'll experiment with it. Somebody else will create something even faster or more serious than that, and they'll even bypass that and go to the next thing.
I'm not anxious for any of it.
I'm not either. Not either, but what I am anxious for is for us to keep up with the rest of the world. That's the only thing. It's for us to keep up with the rest of the world. Our children, our people, our folks who wanted to make up, we have to, people who are acting, all of the filmmakers, we need to keep up with the rest of the world. And right now, we're kind of lagging behind. So, yeah, we do need whatever future or upcoming technology there is. Now, I'm not looking forward to it, but we need it only because we need to keep up with the rest of the world. So who knows what will happen with it. But if we can have high-speed railway by 2015, we could do a lot. And that's like California, New York. There'll be high-speed railway between Atlanta, Birmingham, going over to North Carolina, and through Chicago, and Chicago will be the major hub for the United States. It can happen. And they said all our high-speed railway will be in by 2030. So who knows what could happen in regards to something as simple as bandwidth. They act, Congress can just say, okay, let's do this. And then we'll have to refigure our makeup all over again.
So, now, Suzanne, let me ask you this.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you remember one of your segments where you talked to us about the Alexa HD camera?
Oh, that's Red's new camera, the Epic, not the Electra, the Epic.
Oh, okay. I don't,
yeah, that's
I don't,
Red's
okay.
new 4K camera that Hobbit is going to be shot on, right?
So you never mentioned anything to us about Alexa?
I had to go back in my notes. Could have.
Okay.
But I mean, if I did mention it, it's obsolete.
Oh, man.
Think of it
already?
As probably. Well, 4K obviously is going. Red's going. What's Red going to do? I mean, they're trying to get their Epic out as a 4K, and this is beyond 4K resolution. This is 16 times 1080p. So that beats 4K by a mile.
I just recently worked with the Alexa HD camera.
Who makes it?
Is it Arri? A-R-I?
Yeah, Arri.
Uh-huh. Arri. Okay. Arri makes it.
All of the film camera companies now have a digital component body. So that's Arri's answer to the digital component.
Okay.
I don't have any knowledge of Arri's line. That's kind of the I don't want to say the bastard child, but they're not one of the major players in this whole big deal.
Oh, wow. Well, if you ever have an opportunity to work with this camera,
mm-hmm.
it's actually pretty nice. I mean, it has a beautiful film-like quality. But it's very sharp, though. It's very sharp, but when you look at it, like when you actually look through the camera lens, it's
mm-hmm.
something that's very soft about it, which is very nice. And, you know, it kind of fools you to think that, oh, wow, this is film.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
but they're all you're also looking at, they have aftermarket glass. They have, you know, all kinds of different glass and lenses that they're using to trick that image. It's still not a three-quarter sensor. Panasonic is the only one that has a three-quarter sensor on the market right now with their AF100 that just came out. So they're still behind a little bit. Everybody else is still behind. Panasonic is leading the way.
Wow.
But what does that tell you? It tells you that if these film camera companies are coming out with digitals, it tells you that they know that nobody's going to shoot in film anymore. By the time this format comes out, let's say in 2016, it will be standard operating procedure for all movies to be shot digital, edited, and then transferred to film. It's going that way.
Wow.
It's so much cheaper. You don't have to have video assist. You don't have to look at the dailies. You have it all in one fell swoop. It's one clean upload. You don't have to transfer it digitally. The cost is significantly lowered. And like I said in the previous show, that the studios are going to demand that. There's only going to be people like Spielberg or Cameron that will be able to demand things being shot on film. Everyone else, no. Maybe Ridley Scott and Cameron and Spielberg might be the ones to control that. But it's going by the wayside, absolutely. It's so much cheaper. And with the technology that is rapidly advancing, now camera companies are just issuing camera bodies because there's so many aftermarket glass and lenses and everything that can be filters that can be added on that it's pointless to put it all in one package. Everybody wants to use their film camera lenses on digital bodies, and so they're making that capability. That's why you're getting the nice look. That's why you're getting that more film-like look is because they're using film lenses.
Wow. And it makes you wonder if eventually they won't even transfer the film. They'll end up changing all the cameras out of all of the theaters. Although the only thing would be not wanting to send it a digital format across the country with people, you know, stealing movies and the uploads and downloads. They may not want to send it. But other than that, I would think eventually they'll change that.
Well, you know, cable television is going to fall away. It's going to go away because people are simply going to be able to just download from the Internet. And I think cable is seeing the end of its time.
Wow.
People are going to directly download. I mean, we have the capability to do that now. Televisions can do that. You get Netflix downloaded. You get iTunes downloaded. You get the Internet downloaded. Cable's just a nuisance. It's just an extra step. So
wow.
I think in 10 years you're going to see the demise of cable. I mean, my husband wants to get rid of cable and just download. And I'm like, well, I don't know that I'm ready to, you know, it's going to require more judicious picking and choosing of things that you want to watch. But what is it going to do the networks? You know, it's pretty, we live in a, it makes my head spin. It really makes my head spin. And I think it you know, definitely, by the way, the DVD, I just got it into the store, so we'll have it up on the website this weekend. So I think it's probably a pretty timely release.
Yay, good.
Yeah, it's
that's
in.
Good to hear.
And it is in. So, anyway, boy, we could just do a whole show about super high definition. Probably.
Yeah.
Just have a think tank moment of great minds that have some thoughts and opinions. But I do have some makeup tips that if you want me to share.
Okay.
Sure.
After having said all that, can you guess what I'm going to say? Start thinking ultra high definition now. Think 7680p now. This is your mantra. Think this over and over as you select and apply your products. Think about 7680p going to be broadcast on a screen size that is now available on the market. It's 153-inch television. It's now on the market.
That's that Sony television, right?
Nope, it's Panasonic.
Oh, okay.
It's Panasonic has been the one that's been really leading the way. Last year they came out with the 105-inch. Now they've got 153-inch.
Wow.
So think about that, 7680p at 153 inches. So color, coverage, texture, finish are going to be more critical than ever. So start refining your techniques down from translucency to transparency. Translucency is what we work in now in HD. It's going to go down to transparency. This will be crucial because all film, will simply be HD transfer once it's edited and completed. So another point, and this is something that I have truly adopted myself, is that unless you have flawless, perfect-looking skin to begin with, you will not be able to achieve totally flawless-looking skin in this format. It's not going to happen. It's only going to be as good as the skin or the canvas that you have been given to work with. So take the pressure off of yourself and know that your work is only going to be as good as the canvas you've been given on to work on. So think achieving a cleaner, refined, and even complexion. That's the best you're going to be able to do without throwing the look in reverse in this format and showing makeup texture. So think down from translucency to transparency. Now, another thing, and that I've always maintained, that neutral color palettes for lips and eyes always look balanced and even and attractive in HD. They never fail because they don't overly vibrate, even if they're in a context where you have higher contrast colors. And they're not going to fail you in ultra high definition either. So practice and work on that neutral eye and lip palette. It's going to be your best friend.
Uh-huh.
Those are just my thoughts.
Definitely something we need to start working on, like you said, and thinking about.
I'm telling you, it's not going to be translucency anymore. It's going to be transparency. It really, really is. I mean, it's and until we have monitors that can resolute that format, we're not going to really know until we actually get to see. But you might as well practice now as much as you can, which is, I'm so glad I have the macro lens for our camera this year in our class, because we'll be able to get pretty within proximity. Not quite, but we'll be able to have a good closer rendering of what that might look like. So, hey, they keep throwing things our way.
Keeps us on our toes.
Right, and if you're not handed a beautiful face, I'm the one who said that one of the last times I was on here that African American skins that require more coverage for flawless faces are going to be in trouble. And then you said on the blog, Suzanne, that so will older white faces. Oh,
yes, ma'am.
It's going to be difficult.
It's going to crucify the talent. Let's just put it that way. I mean, can we say it in any plainer terms? It really is going to make the talent pool extremely competitive and aggressive. Because if they don't start taking care of it, and this is the problem. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I just get talent that just thinks that we still have magic wands. They don't take care of their skins.
Yes.
They don't make the connection that... Pardon me?
So many of them smoke. You know, they hide it, and it's a so-called big secret. But so many people smoke. So many of them don't take care of their skin, you know, with aging. And, like, now I have problems because of, you know, just regular female issues, any of that. Oh, my God, there's so much stuff that's going to play into that.
There's a whole variety of issues that are going to plague them. I mean, even dermatology procedures are going to be noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be so naked bare that it's really going to be embarrassing to some people, unless they have the strength of mind to just weather it and move forward. But then again, you know, I don't know about casting. I don't know how casting will deal with this. There's a whole new what if out there, right from the talent all the way to the camera.
That's
that
true.
This is going to dredge up. It really is.
And
I'm so glad I'm not an actor.
Cosmetic procedures will have to change because they're going to have to refine the way they do faces and that pull tight.
That's exactly what I was speaking of, right? Dermatology, plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be able to see exactly where they injected the Botox,
mm-hmm.
any lopsidedness. I mean, all that asymmetrical stuff, it's going to be like just right there.
I was looking at somebody just the other day on TV, and I could tell, you know, she said she has a breast job, but I could tell it was lopsided. I could tell one side was bigger than the other one. And I'm just looking at a regular old TV. I'm not even looking at high def or any of the new stuff.
Well,
and it was really obvious, so
right.
That's going to be ugly.
It is going to be cartoonish for these people. It really will be. And, you know, the three biggest issues, especially that novice makeup artists face in dealing with makeup for HD, is African-American skin tones, because they often have more than two tonalities to their skin, often three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just paint them down with one color like they want to. Pale skins... Oh, my gosh, that is going to be huge, as well as male. Pale, you know, pale, very fair-skinned people and male complexions. Three of the biggest issues will be magnified in this format.
Well, and you're saying males, but African American males with any sort of beard issue.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be hard. When they have the discoloration and hyperpigmentation, that's going to be difficult to cover.
You are not
going to
be able, lady, you are not going to be able to correct to the degree that you are now. It's just not going to happen.
Wow.
It's going to be just balancing out, and your biggest enemy is going to be texture and finish. That will be your biggest enemy that you will have to fight with. So that's why I'm saying you got it. Right now we have the luxury of translucency in our makeup, and but you're going to have to pare that down to transparency. That means your saturation, your makeup ratio saturation to the skin has to drop down from 18% to about 10%. And somehow you're going to have to make it blend into the background of the skin. So it's really important to work on that. Skin's going to have to show through to make it look cleaner.
Right.
I don't even want to think about this. I'm so bummed out right now. We
well,
have enough to worry about.
A lot to think about, Suzanne. You truly have.
Well, I'm just the messenger.
right, of course.
I'm just the messenger. I'm not the creator of all this stuff. I wish we could just marinate for a while and just for about 10 years, and then you know, let's think about. Then we'll move ahead. You know.
Right. I mean, absolutely. What you come up with all the time, Suzanne, is deep, but just the whole contemplation that. From casting to the screen and all the changes, and it's just going to be a lot. I wonder where makeup is going to go.
You know, we think we're having issues right now. We won't even get all these solved before this thing's foisted on us.
Right.
Like I said, I don't. Here's the saving grace. We are not even transmitting in 1080p yet. So we're only seeing mostly 720 because it's a cleaner transmission at that lower bandwidth. So, like I said, you know, the FCC has always been dragging their feet. They're way behind Britain. We're way behind Britain. Do you know that Britain has been in a higher def format for 40 years because their resolution has always been 576. Ours has been at 430. So they have always had higher definition for 40 years. So they're always eager to do things a little bit bigger and better with their television broadcasting. So they do have it over us, and they've had it over us for 40 years. We're now just kind of catching up a little bit. They've always had greater bandwidth. So, you know, far be it from me to, you know, guess why, but that's the way it's been. It's the way it's always been. I guess you can sort of thank the Society for Motion Picture and Television Engineers for that, because they're the ones that agreed on they set the standard, they set the format standard that the FCC adopts. So I have no idea why they settled on 430 resolution as opposed to 576. 576 is the PAL format. And 430 is the NTSC. I believe it's 430. It's somewhere around 430, 430 or 480. I can't remember, but it's still a lot lower than PAL. It's lower resolution. Go figure.
Crazy. Oh well.
Oh well.
Well, ladies, we have run out of time.
All right.
But the conversation is definitely getting good. we're gonna have to. Like you said earlier, we're gonna have to kind of do a whole show. Just get into it.
Well, at this point, it would be, you know, purely conjecture, but it's a good discussion.
Right.
It's a good alert, and it's good for everybody to throw their ideas on the table, because I think a bunch of thoughts and processes is a good idea. I mean, to always,
absolutely.
You know, this is, you know, forget everything else. This is what's coming down the pipeline.
Right. And we need to be prepared.
Right.
We do. So between now and 2016, 18, or whenever this is supposed to come to fruition, there's going to be so many intermediary changes that I feel like throwing my hands up. But, you know, you have to do the best with what you have. And, you
right.
know, you stand your ground. My biggest thought right here, like I said, okay, then we're going to go down from translucency down to transparency. So that's my first take on it. And stick with your neutral palettes. Make sure your blending techniques are really refined.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Absolutely.
Well, good
ladies,
being with you all.
Yeah, and I hope you feel better soon.
I'm getting there.
Good.
Seems when I start talking for a length of time, my voice warms up and then I get froggy again, but I'm sure it'll be fine. So I will see you later this month, the 24th?
Yes, sounds good.
Okay, got it on my calendar.
All right, talk to you then.
All right,
bye,
take care, ladies. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, JK, for joining us.
No problem, ladies. Talk to you soon.
All right,
I was just wanting to say thanks to Jen James for tweeting for us and hanging on the line. She
hey, Jen.
Kind of locked us down. And, I don't know. Blog Talk Radio is having some issues, some technical issues. So, a couple
people.
Yeah,
because I haven't been able to log on.
Yeah.
I don't know why I can't seem to log on.
Well, hang in there with us, ladies. Every Thursday night, we'll try our best to see what these issues are and try to see if we can't work them out. But thank you guys so much for joining us and participating. If you like the show, go out and mark it as a favorite. As always, join us every Thursday night at 9 p.m. if you're on the East Coast and 6 p.m. if you're on the West. And when I'm on the West Coast, I have to remember that the show is at 6 p.m. So if you guys will come on the line and I'm a little tardy, that's because I'm thinking I have to wait till 9 o'clock. So
don't
bear with me. But I haven't messed up yet, so we're still doing good. So with that being said, good night, everybody.
Good night.